Floating Our Way Out. Written by Frankie Ann. Read by Jennipod. Fandom: Bandom RPF, Panic at the Disco. Pairings: Spencer Smith, Brendan Urie, Ryan Ross, John Walker. Brendan doesn't keep track of the days very well, but he's pretty sure that the days the boys show up is a Sunday, because there's a kid on a bike going up and down the street, flinging newspapers at whatever looks breakable on people's porches. "And you're sure you want this one, Rye?" There are two of them, coming up the steps. They're both pretty short, and one is all skinny limbs and floppy brown emo hair. The other is broader, with a beard and the kind of forearms Brendan has dreams about, and hips that border on childbearing. "I'm sure," the skinny one says, smiling a little, as they come in the door. Brendan watches from halfway out of the ceiling as they walk down the hall to the kitchen. It has character, Spence, a sort of dilapidated charm. The other one snorts. "If by charm you mean possible health risk? Yeah, okay, sure." Brendan kind of wants to be offended. They have no right to be judging his house. But then again, it kind of is a rundown piece of shit. And it's not like he wants to live here. He doesn't even actually live here. It's sort of hard to live anywhere when you're dead. The two of them wander around the house a little more, and Brendan drifts along the ceiling, watching as they judge the rooms. Spencer is cheerfully pessimistic, saying things like, "Wow, Ryan, you can die from black mold inhalation and take a bath at the same time. That's glorious. A golden opportunity if I ever saw one." And, "Huh, look at this. The fireplace is only missing half its bricks. It'll probably take you at least a week to manage to burn this place to the ground." Ryan, on the other hand, puts up with the ribbing with a wry twist of his mouth and a condescending nod. The argument ends when Ryan points out that there's a spare bedroom that they could use it as a practice space, Spence. Come on, there would even be room for your drums. Think about it. And okay, so they're weird, and Ryan is clearly trying to dress like some combination of a cowboy, a homeless man, a riverboat gambler, and Brendan's grandfather. And Spencer is a grouchy bear man-beast. But it would be kind of cool to be able to hear music again. Brendan's missed music. Kind of a lot. So maybe he won't whoosh through the house screaming about how their doom is nigh or anything. Yet. Brenda's not eliminating it as an option entirely. "We could have John come over, right? And maybe we could even have a band again, Spence." Ryan elbows Spencer's side, smiling kind of hopefully, eyes twinkling, and Spencer grins back at him, giving in. And wow, Spencer's grin is blinding. It's possibly the source of all good things in the universe, including unicorns and puppies, and possibly several of Brendan's wet dreams. So maybe Brendan won't whoosh through the house screaming about anything at all. Spencer is sort of disgustingly hot. There are times, very frustrating times, times like right now, that Brendan really wishes he weren't a ghost. Ryan and Spencer come back 3 days later, with a bunch of boxes, exchanging cheerful insults as they haul everything inside. Brendan wonders if they're brothers or sleeping together, but he's pretty sure it's one or the other. If it's both, though, he might have to reconsider that whole Spencer is hot premise and replace it with, oh god, ew. but he doesn't think that's the case, so. If they're together, there's the downside of, hey, Brendan will be sad because Spencer and his blinding smile have someone that is not Brendan. But the upside of, hey, Brendan could probably watch them have sex. And Ryan is kind of weirdly pretty, so... And if they're brothers, well, whatever. At least then Brendan won't have to watch Spencer sex up someone who isn't him. Probably. I still can't believe you're going to live here, Spencer says, when all the boxes are in. And wait, what? Brendan had kind of been under the impression that they were moving in together, both of them. It's not like there aren't enough rooms. There are more than enough rooms. If Spencer isn't going to live here, Brendan might have to be sad. And Brendan had kind of enjoyed his brief break from being terminally depressed. Ryan rolls his eyes and says, perfectly toneless, "Oh no, Ryan, you're going to live in a musty old house full of spiders and rats. That's so much worse than where you've been living for the past 20 years. Spencer scowls, crossing his arm and cocking a bitchy hip. "I'm not saying the house is worse than the way your dad treated you, Ryan. Jeez, just, you have money now. It's not like you couldn't..." "So, okay, they're probably not brothers then, if Ryan has a different dad. Half-brothers, maybe? But they still don't look anything alike. Which means they're probably sleeping together. Brendan is going to pretend that doesn't make his stomach drop a little." "I have money, yeah, Spence, but I kind of want it to last, so I can't buy something expensive." Ryan snaps back, hands on his hips. "I'm not going to waste this money, Spencer. I don't want to end up a year down the line with nothing but a big fat mortgage and a shitty guitar. I'm going to live here because it's cheap and I like it, okay? So stop looking at me like that. And I'm going to write, and then I'm going to publish a book, okay? Lots of books, a million of them. And we're going to play music, and you're going to stop bitching at me about every goddamn choice I make, because you are my best friend, not my mother, okay? And you're going to like it." He stops, huffing, eyes narrowed, finger in the middle of Spencer's chest. "Best friends. Okay. Brendan can sort of buy that, even if they do touch a lot for best friends. Seriously a lot. They're not very manly about it either. Maybe they're Canadian." Spencer looks at him for a long moment, one eyebrow arched, smirking. "So, what you're telling me is that this house makes you feel like a legitimate starving writer, and I should stop messing with your delusions?" Ryan's mouth curls into a wry grin. "Also that. Shut up." Spencer rolls his eyes and lightly punches Ryan's arm. "Come on, walk me to the car. I promised I'd meet John for lunch and tell him if you talked about him like a 12-year-old girl at all today." Ryan scowls at him again, but it looks suspiciously like he's trying to hide a blush. "I swear to God, if you tell him that thing I said about thinking his hands are pretty, I will break both your arms, and you will never drum again, Spencer Smith." Spencer grins that stupid blinding grin that makes Brendan's chest go all tight and squiggly, and pats Ryan's hand. "On second thought, you stay right there, and I'll run away really fast now, because I might have already texted him about that one." He makes a break for it while Ryan gapes at him, slowly turning red. When the door slams, Ryan looks straight up, straight at Brendan, like he's known Brendan's been there the entire time, and says ruefully, "If I actually break his arms, it'll be ages before I can find another drummer." Brendan maybe falls out of the ceiling a little in shock. When he recovers himself, he blinks at Ryan a little and says the first thing to come to the surface of his mind, which is maybe not the best idea, but, "You'll never find one as pretty." Ryan makes a face. "Ew." Most people can't see Brendan. Almost everyone can hear him, which is how he got rid of the last few people who wanted to buy the house. But only one of them ever actually saw him. Ryan, though. Ryan says he can see him perfectly. And he says it in that Ryan way, like, Of course I can see, you idiot. I have eyes and everything. Like it isn't weird. He also says it like it isn't weird that Brendan even exists. And that's actually kind of nice. Brendan doesn't tell him that part, though. Because Ryan is totally the type to get a big head about it. Brendan can tell already. Ryan hangs out with him just like he's a real person. Talks to him and plays music and asks for Brendan's advice on chord progressions and harmonies. Reads books out loud so Brendan can listen if he wants to. They play checkers sometimes, and Ryan's put little labels on each piece, so all Brendan has to say is, "Dorothy forward," or "Xavier double jumps Wanda." All the red pieces are girls, all the black pieces are boys, and like half of them are named for superheroes, while the other half are literary characters. And okay, it's kind of awesome that Ryan is at least as much of a dork as Brendan is. When Ryan stays up late watching terribly pretentious movies with gratuitous nudity in French, Brendan thinks he's maybe actually a little more of a dork. But he keeps that to himself, because Ryan would give him a bitch face, and Brendan doesn't like having to act like it's actually imposing. Spencer comes over a lot too, but Brendan doesn't show himself when he's around, because if Spencer can't see him, or worse, can and is afraid of him, Brendan doesn't think he could deal with that. Ryan assures him that Spencer is open-minded and pretty weird, too, so he'd probably be able to see him. That's mostly what it's about, having room in your brain to let the idea of Brendan in. And that he wouldn't think Brendan was scary or an abomination against God or anything. But Brendan's actually pretty sure that he is an abomination against God. His parents were sure. That's why he's here, alone. And wow. Okay, it still hurts to think of them. It's been 5 years, and he wonders what his sisters are doing now, if his brothers are done with college yet. Brendan kind of wishes he'd gotten to graduate high school. That would have been nice. But no, he's not going to risk it with Spencer. And Ryan seems to understand, because he doesn't bring Brendan up, doesn't tell Spencer anything at all. A small, rebellious part of Brendan kind of wishes that Ryan were more of an asshole and would just tell Spencer and get it over with, because then Brendan wouldn't have to wonder. But that's a really small part. Ryan thinks Brendan is possibly the most annoying yet cool thing to happen to him since he met Spencer when he was 6. Brendan never shuts up. Spends half his time bouncing around the house singing show tunes, and he makes fun of all of Ryan's hats. But he also likes the books Ryan reads, knows his way around a guitar, listens to Ryan talk about John and John's pretty, pretty hands without making fun of him the way Spencer does, and he occasionally gives Ryan ideas for his novel. Well, Ryan's various novels. Ryan's maybe having some trouble picking one concept and sticking to it. He also clearly has a crush on Spencer, which is either the most hilarious or the saddest thing that Ryan's ever seen. "Spence is coming over tonight," Ryan warns him the next time Brendan floats into the room. Brendan hums a little and grins a big, stupid, idiot grin. "Is he staying over?" Ryan tries to scowl, because the fact that Brendan watches Spencer sleep is sort of creepy, and he should be defending Spencer's honor or something in appropriate best friend fashion. However, Brendan is like a tiny dead puppy, and Ryan maybe has a weakness for that sort of thing. And also, it's hilarious, so he can't actually manage the scowl. Maybe, probably, you know him. The weird thing is that Brendan does know him. Ryan talks about him all the time, and when Brendan talks back, it's like he knows the way Spencer is, without knowing anything in particular about him at all. When Ryan asked him about it once, all he said was that Spencer was just a Spencer, and Brendan didn't have to know a lot about him to understand what that meant. After that, Ryan was pretty sure that he didn't mind Brendan creeping on Spencer at all. Brendan nods. "What are you guys doing?" "Band practice, sort of. John might come over, too. Ryan doesn't rush through the latter part, like he would with Spencer. He still feels a blush rising into his cheeks. Brendan beams at him. The amazing John Walker? The John that invented magic and whose smile gives birth to kittens? That John? It's entirely possible that the kitten part is true, since John has 14 million cats. And Ryan is distracted by the sort of horrifying and hysterical image of kittens spontaneously popping out of John's mouth before he fakes a scowl at Brendan. Yes, that John. Brendan rubs his hands together, giggling gleefully. Awesome! Awesome, Ryan Ross! I can't wait! He pauses for a minute then. Will you put the blue sheets in the guest room? Ryan probably doesn't actually want to know. But he's a writer, he's curious, so... why? Brendan gives him a lopsided smile. They match his eyes. Ryan rolls his eyes and mutters something perfunctory about how creepy Brendan is, and how Brendan can't see Spencer's eyes if Spencer's eyes are closed and he's asleep. But he puts the blue sheets on the bed in the guest room before Spencer comes over nonetheless. Ryan is an enabler. John Walker is not what Brendan expects. Brendan expects John Walker to be tall, dark, and handsome, with a chiseled jaw and a Viking beard of awesome. The John Walker that shows up at the door at 2 in the afternoon is short, shorter even than Ryan and Spencer and Brendan, and soft, and yes, okay, handsome, but the way teddy bears are handsome, not the way Viggo Mortensen is handsome. The Viking beard of awesome is mostly what Brendan expected, though. Otherwise, he's kind of plain and brown, but he looks cuddlesome, and when Ryan ducks his head and says hello, John Walker smiles a smile that does, yes, as Ryan said it did, spontaneously give birth to radiant light, glory, and tiny fuzzy kittens rolling through springtime grass. Brendan finds that especially impressive, as it's late fall, so John Walker also mystically generates springtime and the flora that accompanies it. Brendan will agree with Ryan, later, that John Walker is pretty magical. Can you maybe actually hit the drums instead of petting them like kittens? Ryan demands, crossing his arms and glaring at Spencer. Because actual drumming would be really fucking useful right now. Can you maybe actually sing instead of criticizing what other people are doing? Spencer snaps back, rolling his eyes. John clears his throat. Not to, like, interrupt your awesome bitch fight, guys, but the song where we're, you know, playing just then, we should maybe just play it again. His mouth quirks up a little, like maybe he secretly wants to laugh and is just too nice to make fun of them, and Ryan feels all the anger and frustration seep out of him. Yeah, Ryan, Spencer says, sneering a little. Let's just play the song. Ryan sniffs and ignores Spencer's absolute ridiculous childishness. Fine, okay, just count us in. He grimaces at John, who still just looks like he's trying really hard not to laugh. Spencer snorts, but counts them in, and Ryan tries to shut out his general irritation at how very awkward playing again is. Tries to sing through it. It sort of works, and each time they play through a song, it gets a little less uncomfortable, a little less stilted, until eventually Ryan can feel the music thrumming through him almost exactly like it's supposed to. Ryan plays his old band's demo for Brendan after John and Spencer leave. It's good. It's really good. But it's angry and it's sad, and there's something futile and desperate in the way Ryan sings, too soft and too helpless. It tugs at all the places that are empty in Brendan's own chest, the places that make him feel like maybe he really is dead. So when Ryan hands him the first few lines of a new song he's working on, Brandon hums something he thinks will suit Ryan's voice a little better. It's warm and easy and smooth, and Ryan frowns at him. "That's not really my usual style," he says. "But it's not a complaint, not exactly." Brendan nods. "But maybe it should be?" Ryan smiles and hums, slow and thoughtful. "I think John would like it." Brendan kind of wants to giggle every time Ryan mentions John, because John is awesome, and Brendan hopes that he and Ryan get married and have 10,000 adorable musical genius babies. "That," Brendan says with a pompous sniff, "is because John Walker has excellent taste. He'll teach them how to sing and play the saxophone. It'll be the coolest thing ever. Brendan's totally going to be the cool uncle figure. But, you know, dead and see-through." Brian swats in his general direction, but sniggers a little nonetheless. "So, what should come next?" Brendan thinks about it and hums the next line to himself, then sings tentatively.
"Hey moon, please forget to fall down."
When he looks up from the page, Ryan is blinking at him, eyes a little wide. "What?" Ryan just keeps blinking. You should sing, Brendan. You should sing all the time." Brendan feels himself blushing, and it sucks that that sort of thing sticks around even when you're incorporeal. So, he clears his throat. Could you write something down for me? I've been wanting to write this thing down for ages. It's not really a song, not yet, you know, but I can't exactly..." Ryan nods, still looking a little shell-shocked. Brendan isn't sure if it's a good thing or a bad thing. But for the next 3 nights, they stay up late, writing all the things that have been in both of their heads for too long. The weird thing about Brendan's creepy crush on Spencer is, the more Brendan is around Spencer, the more solid he gets, until Ryan can see the colors of Brendan's clothes. His clothes change. And Ryan wouldn't have thought ghosts could change clothes, if he'd thought about it at all. At one point, Brendan falls in love with one of Ryan's ex-girlfriend's old hoodies while he watches Ryan unpack. A silly lavender thing. And Ryan kind of wishes he could give it to him. Because it's not like he's even using it. And Brendan hardly ever admits to missing anything, wanting anything. But he's lusting after the hoodie like it's something magical. "How do you get new clothes?" Ryan asks him, conversationally, while he's fucking around on the Xbox. Like he's not trying to be sneaky about anything at all. Brendan shrugs. "I don't get new ones. These are all the ones my parents burned before they left." Ryan blinks at him. He knows Brendan had a family, but he doesn't talk about them, except once, a mention of his sister. But Ryan had sort of assumed that they all died. Apparently not. "They burned your things?" Brendan smiles wryly. "Yeah, they were, cleansing the house of my influence, I guess. So they burnt all my stuff. I guess they were hoping it would get rid of me. But it didn't work, so they left." Ryan's quiet for a minute. He didn't ever like his father. It's hard to like a man who kicks you around. But at the same time, he can't imagine leaving him. And he can't imagine that his father would ever abandon him after burning all his worldly possessions, whether he was alive or not. "That's sort of horrible," he says finally, because he doesn't actually have anything better to say. "I guess," Brendan agrees, giving a half shrug. "It's been like 5 years now. At least I have things to change into. I mean, I wish I could shower. I mean, it's not like I actually sweat or anything, but I kind of miss the act of showering." Ryan snorts, but doesn't disagree. He's a big fan of showers himself. They're somehow cathartic. "So," he muses, thinking about it, "if I burnt something, You could have it? Brendan looks at him for a long moment, like he's trying to figure out what Ryan's getting at. I guess? It might just have been because those things were sort of a part of me, like they had my essence. I don't know. But maybe burning them is sort of like killing them, so they can be ghosts too? He scratches his head. I don't know, he says again, spreading his hands in a helpless gesture. Ryan nods, humming, and sets the Xbox controller aside. Give me a sec, he says, not waiting for an answer before getting up and going to the bedroom. Brendan doesn't follow him, just hovers, looking perplexed, above the couch. Ryan gets the hoodie from the box in his closet, along with a lighter and a fire starter log from the cupboard in the kitchen. It might not work, no, but it's not like he's losing his favorite scarf or anything if it doesn't. It's just Kelty's hoodie. Brendan just stares at him while he lights the log and waits for it to catch, and he only makes one little pained noise when Ryan stuffs the hoodie on top of the flames. Is it working? Ryan asks after a minute. The hoodie is only half burnt, though, and the whole room smells like burning polyester. Brendan blinks, swallows audibly, and says, I don't know yet. Ryan nods, and they watch the fire in silence. After a minute or two, the hoodie gives up with a flare of grayish smoke, and there's nothing left but a smoking zipper on the fire starter. He turns to ask Brendan if it worked, and there's the hoodie, softly translucent, in Brendan's hands. Brendan turns it over wonderingly. That's epic, he breathes, and tugs it on over his shirt. There's no zipper, so it hangs loose over his chest, but he looks thrilled. Ryan's throat maybe goes a little tight, because seeing Brendan happy makes him realize just how sad he'd been before. Ryan's pretty sure there's no way he's going to be able to let Brendan go back. Brendan beams and flings his arms through Ryan. It feels bizarre, like Ryan's body is full of Alka-Seltzer. But it's as close as Brendan can get to hugging him, so Ryan tentatively wraps his arms around where Brendan sort of is and tries to hug back. Ryan starts going out and getting things for him pretty often after that. New jeans one time, and a band shirt another. Spencer leaves a stupid woolly cap over at Ryan's house one night, and Ryan sees Brendan watching it longingly, so he quietly burns that for him too. Brendan doesn't take it off for weeks, and Ryan can hear him giggling when Spencer comes looking for it. After that, Brendan's solid enough that Ryan can tell that his eyes are brown and that his skin is tan and that his favorite pair of jeans are black. Sometimes, when Brendan looks longingly at Ryan eating pizza or a sandwich, Ryan will burn him a piece. And no, he's not sure it's the same, but Brendan claims he can taste it. And no, he doesn't need it exactly, not as sustenance anyway, but Ryan's pretty sure there are different kinds of need. Brendan has pretty much decided that Spencer is the best thing since somebody invented the concept of adding cheese to things and then eating them. Spencer has a beard of sexy manfulness, and every time Brendan looks at it, he's pretty sure he would die from how cute it looks on Spencer's round, almost a girl cheeks, if he weren't already dead. As it is, he has to stop himself from giggling in pure glee every time Spencer smiles, and the light of all things awesome beams out from his white, shiny teeth to fill the world. Brendan is maybe sort of stupidly smitten. He's pretty much okay with this idea, as long as he can keep looking at Spencer without Spencer noticing that he's looking. Ryan laughing at him doesn't help, but whatever, Ryan's a douche. A douche who pays real money for cool things and then lights them on fire so Brendan can have them. Ryan's sort of an awesome douche. Whatever. Not the point. Spencer is adorable, and Brendan's afterlife's goal is to figure out some way to kiss his stupid, adorable face full of beard and smile and big blue eyes. Ugh. That's all there is to say. Ugh. Ryan is standing in his music room, picking out a potential melody while Brendan hums along. It's soft, but cheery, and it sort of reminds Ryan of the Beatles, if the Beatles had been less British and had been influenced by 80s bubblegum pop. "I think it needs more of a minor feeling in the bridge," Brendan says, floating down to an inch above Ryan's favorite chair. Ryan's pretty sure Brendan sits there just to be a pain in the ass, since it doesn't really matter which chair he sits in, since he's not actually able to feel chairs at all. He just has some sort of sick mission to mess with Ryan's head. Ryan is relatively sure this is what it would have been like, having a younger brother. Ryan ignores the chair thing and obligingly darkens the tone, making it a little mournful, a little longing. "I kind of like it." Brendan bobs his head. Yeah, it's kind of like having breakfast for dinner." 2 months ago, Ryan wouldn't have any idea what the hell Brendan was talking about, but now Ryan just nods along, says, "Yeah, like, it's not what you're expecting, what you're used to, but it's satisfying in a different way." "Exactly, Ryan Ross," Brendan says, beaming at him. "Exactly like that." Ryan grins back at him and plays the melody all the way through, now that they have it. After that, he goes to the kitchen and makes pancakes, because the whole breakfast for dinner thing is kind of stuck in his head. Spencer maybe secretly likes Ryan's horrible new house. It's huge and ugly and half falling apart, but there are like 5 rooms that have no actual conceivable use, and there's just something about the place that's weirdly comfortable. He'd never admit it to Ryan or anything, but it's homey, and Spencer sleeps better there than he does at his own house. "Did I know you were coming over?" Ryan asks when he gets back from the store laden with bags. "I guess I must have forgotten, sorry. I haven't been getting a lot of sleep lately." Spencer goes to help him put things away, stacking cans of bean and soup in the pantry. No, I didn't. I mean, I was. Do I actually have to warn you? You never used to warn me." "It's different, sure. Ryan didn't usually have a lot of warning before he needed somewhere else to sleep. But still." Ryan hip-checks him and shakes his head, smiling a little. It's nice to see him smile. It's not something Spencer's seen a lot of since Ryan's dad died. Not that Ryan was a big smiler before that, either, but... No, I just wanted to know if I'm getting crazier than usual." "Nope, at least not in that sense. What's keeping you from sleeping?" Ryan normally keeps weird hours, but they're more weird in the sense of getting up early and then napping like a cat in the sun than staying up all night. Ryan shrugs. "I've been working on music a lot. New inspiration, I guess." That's legitimately weird. Ryan hasn't written music in a long time. Not since the Summer League, back when they were in high school, when he was dating Brent and writing angry songs about his father. "Is something bothering you?" Spencer doesn't mean to sound that incredulous, but Ryan seemed better lately, and he doesn't write music when he's happy. Ryan hums something under his breath, a little snatch of something cheery and fast. "No," he says, after a minute. "Nothing's bothering me. This is maybe different." "Is it John?" "It could possibly be something weird and un-Ryan, like endless, woeful, unrequited love songs. But Spencer has a hard time believing that either. Ryan tends to think that sort of thing is tasteless." Ryan looks surprised. "No," he snickers, "although I should probably hit you or something, because he somehow knew about my secret collection of dog models." "Plushies, Ryan. Stuffed animals," Spencer corrects automatically. "Dog models makes it sound like you have a bunch of pictures of dog furries posing in skimpy lingerie." He mocks the pose, a hand on his hip, one behind his head, and gives a dramatic sigh, and there's a little giggle in response. He glares at Ryan, and Ryan belatedly covers his mouth, looking too amused to be apologetic. "Seriously, though, what are you writing?" Ryan bites his lip. "Hang on, I'll get my notebook." When he comes back, he hands Spencer a page covered in a mess of scribbled lines of lyrics and musical notations. Words are just hollow birds. The world's just a broken bone. Melt your headaches. Call it home. Putting out the lantern, find your own way back home. I like it, Spencer says. He does. It's brighter somehow. It is. It's kind of, not your usual style? It isn't. It isn't, Ryan agrees, smiling a secret smile. And Spencer doesn't ask, because he doesn't think Ryan will tell him. As far as Brendan is concerned, John Walker's general awesomeness is stripped only by Spencer's awesomeness, and by John Walker's own awesomeness at playing the bass. His bass playing abilities are not only useful in a band having sense, but also useful in that they are how he talks to Ryan. Every time he comes over, John sits down with Ryan in the music room, and while they wait for Spencer, who is probably always late on purpose, just to give Ryan some alone time with John, because Spencer is appealingly sneaksome like that. He and Ryan send chords back and forth, echoing and responding to each other like a conversation. Ryan strums out a few notes, a question, and John ducks his head, smiles a secret half-smile, and answers with warm notes, soft notes, notes that don't sound like anything in particular on their own, but mean more than Ryan will admit they do when he talks to Brendan later. Brendan thinks that John Walker says more with his hands and his strings than he knows how to say out loud. Brendan also thinks that John Walker's hands and strings say that he thinks Ryan hung the moon and told it to be shiny. Can you just... Yeah, like that, Ryan nods, tapping his foot as Spencer slows down the beat. Awesome. John, then... Okay, here. Come in with... Awesome. He hums out the first line, actually sings along with the second.
Breaks free of my wooden neck, left a knot over sleeping waves, like bobbing bait for bathing cars.
Spencer cocks his head at him, stops drumming. What does that even mean? He asks, arching an eyebrow. Ryan would answer him. Would tell him exactly what it means, except that he didn't write it, Brendan did, and Ryan doesn't have the faintest idea what it means. He scrabbles for something off-putting and pretentious. It's a literary reference, Spence, this old Russian philosopher. You wouldn't get it, he says, in lieu of anything actually useful. John snorts, but doesn't say anything. And Ryan is eminently grateful that Spencer is content to leave it at that. Spencer is a pretty quiet sleeper compared to Ryan. Ryan flails around with nightmares a lot, and he sometimes wakes up during the night. If Spencer did that, it would be really hard for Brendan to be as creepy as he is without being caught, because throwing your hand through a ghost is shocking enough to wake anyone up, as Ryan has proved on more than one occasion. So Brendan's grateful that Spencer has an apparently generally untroubled mind. When he's out, he tends to stay out. Brendan can interact with inanimate objects. He can sit on chairs, beds, counters, whatever. And he can even sometimes move things a little, like pulling Ryan's sleeve or something. But he can't feel things, and his hands pass right through anything animate. Saying he can interact with the inanimate is actually sort of stretching the word interact. He can recognize the space they occupy and interact with the space they're not occupying, sitting just above their presence, that sort of thing. He's not actually really touching them, not technically. So when he lays on the bed beside Spencer, he's not actually lying on the bed beside Spencer. He's floating a few millimeters above the bed, watching Spencer sleep, because he's a giant creeper, and that's what giant creepers, who are ghosts, do. Brendan would pretty much give anything. He'd give his voice, like Ariel, okay? Seriously. To be able to reach out and touch the round curve of Spencer's cheek. And have Spencer feel something other than ionized air stinging his skin. Brendan does the next best thing. scooting in as close as he can so he can feel Spencer's breath displacing the air around his face, and fall asleep to the rhythm of Spencer's lungs. Brendan always makes sure to wake up before Spencer does, or to leave quickly if he wakes up from a dream, because if Spencer knows, Brendan might have to stop. And Brendan knows that he couldn't stand it, knows that if Spencer knew, if Spencer could say no, Brendan would just dissipate and float away. And now that there's actually something to stay for, to exist for, Brendan really, really doesn't want that to happen. The boy smiles at Spencer, eyes crinkling up behind square red glasses. "Hi," he says. And his voice is like music, and that's stupid, except for the part where it's true. His hands are on Spencer's hips, and his mouth is moving against the side of Spencer's neck, tongue flickering out against his skin. "Do I know you?" Spencer finally manages, hands clenching in the boy's purple hoodie as their hips press together. He smiles up at Spencer, impish and adorable, and kisses the corner of Spencer's mouth. His eyes are smiling too, but there's an almost ironic twist to the curve of his mouth. "No," he says, nibbling on Spencer's lower lip until Spencer opens his mouth and, "I'm Brendan," and then he's licking into Spencer's mouth. Spencer clings like he's drowning. And then Brendan slips a hand into his hair and tips Spencer's head back and sucks on the spot just below his ear, and Spencer can hardly breathe. "I know who you are," he says into Spencer's skin, pressing his hips closer, twisting them mercilessly, and the hand he's still got on Spencer's hip is rubbing a thumb below the waistband of Spencer's jeans. Then he's undoing the button, knuckles pressing into the sensitive skin below Spencer's navel, and he drags the zipper down. The sound snaps Spencer awake, and he's lying in Ryan's guest room with a really uncomfortable hard-on. Something buzzes against his left arm, but when he looks, there's nothing there. Ryan laughs his ass off at Brendan. Brendan thinks it's kind of unnecessarily mean, but then it's Ryan, and it maybe is a little bit funny, but... "He almost saw me," Brendan hisses, and okay, he's maybe freaking out a little. Can you imagine what would have happened? Ryan's giggling into his pillow. He would have said, "Hello, hot boy in my bed. Why are you staring at my raging hard-on like you want to molest it?" Ryan is stupid, and Brendan would really love to be able to hit him in the face. It's times like this that he curses his inability to touch things with his fists. Also, times like when Spencer has a raging hard-on and he really wants to molest it. He curses his incorporeality pretty badly at those times, too. "Oh, fuck you," he grouses, and floats petulantly into the ceiling. "I'm pretty sure he likes guys, if that helps," Ryan calls after him, still giggling. It doesn't help. It just makes it even more horrible that Brendan can't have him. Brendan figures he should have maybe come to terms with the whole being dead thing by now, but he's pretty sure he's only getting less and less used to it. So, okay, wait, Spencer says, tapping his sticks on Ryan's leg. "What you're telling me is that this song isn't about fucking." John bites his lip, viciously tamping down a giggle. Ryan glares at him anyways, but that's because Ryan is a ridiculous, oversensitive bitch. "No," Ryan says, drawing the syllable out like he's trying not to strangle Spencer with his scrawny little hands. Spencer gets a sort of sick joy out of making Ryan sound like that. It's some sort of pseudo-sibling instinct or something. "No, Spencer, there isn't anything at all in this song that could possibly be construed as being about fucking. Even a little." John makes this horrible little noise like he's dying and buries his face in the arm of the couch. Spencer feels his pain. Really, he does. Spencer would like to choke to death laughing at Ryan's bitch face, too. "But," Spencer says, raising a drumstick to make his point, "see, the thing is, I'm pretty sure it's not about anything else either, which brings me to the conclusion..." Here he taps Ryan's collarbone with the stick, ignoring his wince. that it must be all thinly veiled metaphors. About fucking. John stops pretending not to be laughing and gives up, pushing himself off the couch and ambling into the hall, guffawing into his arm. Ryan glares pissily after him for a minute, then rounds on Spencer. "There is something wrong with you," he says. And Spencer isn't disagreeing. Just, you know, the thing wrong with him presently is that Ryan is singing a song about pianos and beards and Trojan horses and pretending that it somehow makes anything resembling sense. Spencer doesn't say that, though. He just stares Ryan down. Ryan stares back, but Spencer will totally win. He has sisters. And sure enough, a minute later, Ryan rolls his eyes and throws up his hands and says, totally exasperated, "Fine! Okay, fine, Spence! It's totally secretly about fucking." Spencer nods solemnly. Damn straight it is. "Ask him out, Ryan." Brendan pokes vaguely at Ryan's side. It sort of tickles. Brendan has no goddamn room to talk. "Tell Spencer you exist," Ryan retorts, and it's a low blow, but whatever. Brendan narrows his eyes. "That's different. I'm a spooky dead thing. You're a pile of giant girl eyes and spiky hips, and John pretty obviously wants to lick you to death." "John is not a dog, Brendan." Ryan's going for long-suffering exasperation, but he's pretty sure he just sounds like he's getting close to defeat. Brendan holds up his hands like paws and pants for a second before shaking his head. "Nah, he's a kitty, Ryan." And wow, I was going to say something about giving him some milk or something, but that's beyond even my ability with gross puns. Ryan groans and throws a pillow through him. Brendan takes it like a man and whooshes through Ryan in retaliation. And okay, that feels like being electrocuted and doused in cold water at the same time. Ryan, of course, because he's totally mature and everything, restrains himself to throwing the TV remote through Brendan's head in return. "Ask him out," Brendan sing-songs as he floats through the wall, probably to go curl up over Spencer's indent in the pillow or something equally pathetic. It's not like Ryan is just as bad, with his mooning over texts from John or anything. Ryan sometimes fiddles around the bass that John leaves in the music room when he's feeling especially like a total girl, just because it has a sense of John in it. No, Ryan's totally a different sort of pathetic altogether. Sometimes, Brendan watches Spencer jerk off. He knows it's creepy, and he feels a little bit like Edward Cullen. But Spencer is really hot, and Brendan is only human. A dead human, but still a human, okay? And humans have needs. And Brendan's needs just happen to be partially fulfilled by watching his sort of roommate's best friend jerk off. Also, it's kind of weird for Spencer to be jerking off in someone else's house, even if he does stay over more nights than not, so it's almost like Spencer's asking for it. Or something. That line of logic makes Brendan feel like he's some sort of, like, sleep rapist or something. But Spencer keeps staying over, and Brendan keeps falling asleep in the bed with him, and pretty regularly now, Spencer wakes up halfway through the night with a boner, and, well, instead of fleeing in terror like the first time, Brendan maybe sticks around, out of sight, to watch. He's seriously aware that it's creepy. He is. But he's kind of in love, and he's pretty sure this is as close as he's ever going to getting into Spencer Smith's pants, so he sticks around. At least Brendan doesn't jerk off to it. See? That would make him creepy.